Welcome to Awaken Me Too, real stories about real people encountering a real God. Normally our show is hosted by Bruce and Nikki Carroll. Bruce was away this weekend in the New York State area doing 5 concerts in 4 days, and we will pray for a safe return. My name's Henry Hutton. We didn't want to miss this opportunity to hear from Terry and Barbie Franklin from Nashville, Tennessee. Christian singers and songwriters, speakers of countless conferences and marriage retreats. Since 1985, they've traveled America playing and teaching in the largest venues and churches. They've also traveled to over 40 foreign countries. Terry and Barbie have a call on their lives to inspire love in the home and passionate revival in the church. They believe beginnings of revival are beginning to build now as the church and followers of Christ worship, fast, and pray. They began their ministry way back in 1985, and you can find their songs and their ministry information on Worship City USA and Love Sings. Welcome to the show, guys, and let's begin with Terry.
All right.
Terry, tell us, where did you grow up and when did you first realize your brokenness?
I grew up in Miami, Florida. My father was an entertainer and a salesman at the same time, and my home was not a Christian home. Exactly. My mother was kind of a lapsed Christian. She came to know the Lord when she was in high school, but no one had ever discipled her. And our home just wasn't a Christian home. And really, as I looked at my whole family, my grandparents, no one went to church. No one was a Christian. I mean, I don't even mean on Christmas and Easter.
So how did you hear the good news?
Some elderly ladies invited me to a young people's thing at the little church. It was about 4 blocks from our house, a little Baptist church, and they shared the gospel with me, and I didn't accept Christ at that point. It took a revival meeting where an evangelist came in, and I felt the tug of the Lord. You know, you hear stories of people, conviction. I mean, you would think, well, how would a 9-year-old kid feel that? You know, how much bad has a 9-year-old done? But I realized that I was a sinner and that I was lost and that Jesus paid the price for me on the cross. And I just simply trusted him to be my Savior. The hardest thing for me was to walk down the aisle. I was a shy little kid, but I got over that. And I said, well, that's what it takes. That's what I'm going to do. And anyway.
So when did you meet the love of your life, Barbie?
I met Barbie in Bible college at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and it was the second best thing that ever happened to me. So the first was trusting Jesus, and the second was getting to know her and marry her. So there.
So you've been traveling all around the United States and in foreign countries. And so how did you get in this? How does a person get in this type of ministry?
Well, it's interesting. Barbie grew up, and you'll hear her story in a minute. She grew up in a singing family. And like I say, I didn't grow up in any of that. I grew up around music and playing in the church and that kind of a thing. But after Bible college, I got invited to join an advertising agency in Chicago. And I worked there for a few years and was doing really well. And Barbie was a television video producer, and we were doing really good. We started doing singing at people's weddings. We'd get invited to come do the wedding reception, and then, you know, some churches come and do some music for us in the church. So we were living in Chicago at the time, and we travel around to Indiana and different places. We got so busy that it was affecting everything we were doing. I'd have to, you know, here we are Sunday night, 500 miles away, and we'd have to drive overnight. So I made a sales meeting at 8 a.m, you know, and it got to be too much. And we felt like God was calling us. And Barbie heard the call of God before I did. I said, I really got to hear from God on this. Cause I mean, leaving our jobs and launching out into something that was unknown. And that was 38 years ago.
So what type of job were you? Were you in a sales job?
I was working for an ad agency that dealt with radio, and I was a media buyer and then a senior account executive.
So how'd you end up in Nashville?
Well, after a few years of living in Chicago, we wanted to start having kids and that kind of thing, and housing prices. We couldn't afford suburban Chicago, so we were coming through Nashville just as songwriters. We've written most of our songs through the years. We were connecting with songwriters there, and we just grew to love Nashville. And you could get twice the house for the same amount of money. And so we said, gee, it's a nice area. It's not as cold. At that point, I was sick of 26 below zero and digging my car out of the snow in Chicago. I was tired of that. So I got her to move down to Nashville. So
well, yeah. Great. So how many children do you have?
I have two boys. They're out. They're grown. They do got one grandchild, and that's it.
Well, yeah. Let's focus just a little bit more on what you see God doing right now in this country of ours. As you travel around the country and or even the world, what do you really sense that is the American home's greatest need?
Right now, Jesus is the greatest need that we have. I mean, right now, our country, we've got a couple of things that are going on, that we're going the wrong direction. We've got so many things that are headed the wrong way. What I see the Lord doing is, as things are getting darker in our country, in some sense, that we're going off the wrong direction in so many ways, morally and spiritually. At the same time, there is an undercurrent of God's people rising up to pray, to seek the Lord, to repent, to get rid of anything in their lives that aren't right with the Lord, and praying that we would have national great awakening. And that's kind of where Barbie and I, that's where our hearts are right now, is that God would move in this country as he's done in the past. The great awakening that happened in the mid-1700s, that's the kind of thing that we need to happen again. And so I'm seeing a lot of that.
Are you seeing the churches respond? Are you seeing the organized church respond? What do you feel that God is wanting the pastors who might be listening today? What do you feel that God is wanting to do in the lives of the church?
Yeah, I see a couple of things. Number one, he's calling pastors before we think corporately of our churches or what our community is doing. What about our heart? Is our heart right with the Lord? Are we seeking him like never before? Are we confessing our sin to him? Have we trusted in Jesus as our Savior? I'm meeting a lot of folks out there that, as I talk to them, I'm realizing they've never really trusted Christ and Christ alone for salvation. They're looking to other things. That would be the first thing. And then taking it beyond to our churches and asking people to get right with the Lord, you know, to trust the Lord as Savior. So, you know.
Well, I noticed y'all blew into Memphis yesterday.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And you have already done a great God and country worship service at Shelby Farms. It was open to the public. It was just a celebration of our country, a celebration of our heritage, celebration of our nation. It was designed to really just say happy birthday, America,
happy birthday,
and
America.
To really, really, really get back to our Christian roots that this country was allowed to be founded on with our God-given rights.
Right.
But tell me where you've been. I heard you were up in Washington, D.C. What is this thing called David's Tent in Washington, D.C.? I don't know that many of our listeners have even heard of it.
It's an amazing thing. It's on Google Maps. If you have Google Maps and you put David's Tent, D.C. in Washington, D.C., up will pop this little thing that shows you where the tent is. The tent is located, it's a fairly large tent, between the Washington Monument and the United States Capitol, right on what's called the National Mall. It's not a mall like you shop in, but it's the big green space, if anybody's been to D.C., that they call the National Mall. It goes from the Lincoln Memorial all the way to the Capitol. It's about 2.5 miles, and it's right toward the Capitol and between the Washington Monument. And it's been there. David's Tent, D.C., has been there since September of 2015, nonstop 24 hours a day worship that's been going on all night long.
Who's doing all this worshiping? Who organized this? What is the purpose?
Basically, the purpose is, if you think about it, all across the National Mall, there are memorials to all kinds of things, to people that died in wars, various things of the founding of our country and that kind of a thing. But all people who have died. This is the only living memorial to a living king, to our Savior. And it's a living memorial of folks that are just worshiping the Lord and just lifting him up. And it's I have to tell you, it's an amazing thing that this has gone on 24 hours a day. There's someone right now, and at any time, day or night, that's in that tent worshiping the Lord. There's often no audience to speak of. It's not performing. It's actually just worshiping the Lord. And I'm telling you, one of the richest times you've ever seen is at 2 a.m. in that tent when the Capitol's in the distance.
Wow. So it's open to the public and it's free.
Open to the public. Free. Yeah.
And everybody is invited.
Not even an offering taken.
No offering. They're not.
Nothing. Nothing. No, it just goes on.
They are just there worshiping the Lord and praying, and you can come and stay as long as you want. So if you're traveling to the Washington, D.C. area, you definitely want to go to Google. Is it on Google Maps,
too? It is. It's on Google Maps. It's right
Google
there.
Google Map.
It'll take you right to the front door.
David's Tent.
Yeah, David's Tent. It's right at Madison. Anybody that knows D.C., Madison and 7th. And it's right there. So, you know, but it's between, I tell folks, between the Washington Monument and the Capitol. You can't miss it. It's right there. So.
One question I really want our listeners to understand. How do you stay in touch with God's direction as you guys live such busy lives, traveling different cities? It's hard to keep up with your schedule. How do you personally stay in touch with this living God?
I'm glad you asked that question, and I wish more folks would ask that. What I do is I seek the Lord every day. I pray. I call upon his name. But I have a little system that I use in reading my Bible. I believe very strongly that God's people need to connect to the authority of the Scriptures. That's our roadmap. That's our guide. That's the I can't state it enough. You got a great person here in Memphis, Steve Wiggins. I'm sure you guys have had him on here. That's his thing, is that promoting knowledge of the Scripture, but not just knowledge of it, but letting it change us internally. And what I use is a system that I heard a guy discuss. It's a guy from, I think, the 1800s, Robert Murray McChain. It's a Bible reading system where you basically, by reading a certain amount of chapters a day, by the end of the year, you will have read through the Old Testament one time, the New Testament twice, and the Psalms twice.
Now, who is that by?
Robert Murray McChain.
McChain. Can McChain. We have yes. access to that can, by Googling on
yes,
the internet?
You can.
Robert Murray McChain?
McChain, and it's M apostrophe C-H-E. It's like one of those, must be Irish or, I don't know, Scottish or something. Yeah, probably Scottish. But anyway, but I've used that for years, and it has been such a blessing to me. I would encourage folks, it takes time to do this, and you might not want to bite that off initially, but if we will take the time to seek the Lord, he'll change us. And some of these things take a little bit of time to develop a habit. I heard David Maines, a radio speaker that we worked with years ago, he said that it takes about 6 weeks to develop a habit. And he said, once you develop that, if you miss it, it'll bother you. It's like brushing your teeth. If you don't brush your teeth, it bothers you. So you got to brush your teeth because it's a habit that you've developed. You know, a person that doesn't develop that habit doesn't have any teeth. So, you know, so reading the Bible it's essential to the Christian life, reading and studying the Word of God, and then praying and seeking the Lord and taking the time to do that. And I would add worship to that as well, to worship him in whatever way that you do. If he wants all of our lives, not just music, but all of our lives to be Romans 12:1. So
let's talk about this for just a second, because I've been following the Lord for decades, and I hear a lot of people talking about the importance of spending daily time with the Lord. But then I also find out when I really get to know them, sometimes they talk about spending daily time with the Lord more than actually spend daily time.
Right.
So let me, just in your personal experience, do you set an alarm to have your time with the Lord? Do you do it first thing in the morning? Do you do it at night? How did you get, it's a spiritual discipline we're talking about.
It is.
How did you get this started in your life? And how do you... Let's talk about the how-to just a second.
And that's great, because that's what I always wondered. When do people do this? They always talk about this. I've had different ways that I've done it. Right now, I do it in the mornings. That's the time that I do it.
Do you wake up to do it, or do you do it right after you first get up?
I typically allow enough time for that. But to be clear and to be real with people, because someone would ask this, are there days that you miss it? Yes.
Sure.
Today happened to be one of them. Okay, so let's talk about that. I had this is a wonderful place here, and it had nothing to do with this, but I've got a medical condition that made me get up a whole lot last night, about 30 times, okay? And so I needed to get a little bit more rest because I knew that we had things to do today, and I felt comfortable in the Lord in that to, you know, get an additional hour of sleep. So I haven't read my Bible yet, but I will. The weird thing is there's a tug on it. When you've developed a time with the Lord, he'll draw you. And that's the beautiful thing about it. If you develop this as a spiritual discipline, he'll draw you. So I'm already thinking ahead of, okay, when can I have time to be able to seek the Lord? So,
you know, you went on to something that's really, I want our listeners to understand, it's more than just reading words.
Yes.
You said time with the Lord.
Time with the Lord.
So when do you begin with prayer? Do you begin with worship usually? Tell us a little bit about this time with the Lord, because I think a lot of times we just think of time with the Lord as I've got so many chapters to read. Okay,
sure.
Check that box.
Right, check that box. I usually start just thanking him. Just thanking him for the day, thanking him for my wife, thanking. I mean, there's so many things to thank him for, thanking him for this country. There's a lot of things. And then I usually go to, I get various things in the email, Steve Wiggins, one of his devotional that he does. I'll read that, and I've got a few others, A.W. Tozer, some other things. And then I'll go from there to my Bible readings and stuff, and I just ask the Lord to speak to me and just, Lord, show me what you want me to see today. Speak to my heart. Lately, I've been trying to incorporate just some singing, just singing to the Lord. And I sometimes I sing loud, but sometimes I just sing under my breath. I just sing, and just songs that I just, sometimes I make them up. Sometimes I'll just sing a whole hymn or something that just, I mean, there's so many things that you can do to just make a joyful noise to the Lord, and you don't have to be a singer to be able to do that. God loves your voice no matter how. You may be the worst singer in the world, but God loves your voice. And he wants to hear it. And it just takes a certain amount of time. And I find that, because people want to know this probably too, typically it takes about 90 minutes or so, an hour to 90 minutes, maybe hour and a half.
So how did you said, for our listeners that who may not have developed this discipline in their life, did you start with, I've heard 3 minutes, I've heard 5 minutes, I've heard 1 minute. So how did you get started? Does this time lengthen as you begin to enjoy your time?
I think it does, yes, yes. And I didn't just immediately say, I'm going to spend an hour and a half a day. And I would encourage folks not to do that. I would say start with just a small thing, even if it's 5 minutes. Just say, I'm going to devote that 5 minutes to the Lord. Let it develop a habit, and then let the Lord take it from there. Because it would be better to start with something that's regular than to just do nothing. And we don't do this, and I should really underscore this, we don't do this to buy favor with God. There's not a thing we can do. The beautiful thing about the Christian faith is, and the Christian faith, as opposed to every other religion pretty much in the world, and even some Christian sects, it's with those, it's do. It's do, do, do. But the great thing with knowing Jesus is it's done. He already did it.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do.
By God's unmerited favor, we're saved.
Absolutely.
It's not of any works we do. You're doing this because you enjoy it.
Because
you look forward to it.
I do.
You know, one of the things I've began to learn as I've gotten older in the Lord, you know, it's fun following Jesus.
It is. It absolutely is.
So let me ask you, I'm going to meddle here just a little bit.
Go right ahead.
Which one of you is really the songwriter? Or is it you or is it Barbie?
Is it a collaborative effort? It's collaborative. However, I want to give kudos to my wife. She actually is a better songwriter. She's what I'd like to be. Okay, she will have her Bible open, and she'll be weeping. And it's like God's given her lyrics to a song. And she has come up with, I mean, great songs that people have been blessed by. I mean, it's been amazing to me. Songs that won Dove Awards, that were number one and all this. Not that that matters, but God's given her favor in that. On the other hand, with me, God seems to work through deadlines. So when I have a gun put to my head, it's like, we got to do that. And you know what? The amazing thing is, when there's a deadline and we've got to have so many songs, and I start doing it, the anointing of the Lord comes into that, and I come up with some pretty good things myself.
Amen.
So it's just, God moves in different ways. I wish I could be that with the Bible over my knee and just, man, God just gave me these words. What I have to do is discipline myself to, okay, we got to get this song. Lord, give me something. I'm just going to start writing something, and then it comes.
Okay, so My grandmother used to write these little limericks, and So that kind of comes easily in my family. But
right.
Where does the melody come from? How do you get, I understand writing words on the page, but how do you take these words of worship and praise and honoring words, and where does the I guess you call it the music side of it or the melody come from? I'm not really a musician, so I really don't know what I'm asking, but some of these songs come out, they're so powerful.
That is I don't know.
You just sit down at the keyboard and it starts coming, pick up your violin there?
It's one of these, like, it's in the air and it happens. I will tell you this, though, that is a prayer that I have, that the melody, because melodies, the scripture talks about, what's the scripture? It talks about making melody in your heart to the Lord. Is it Ephesians? Why can't I remember? Anyway, look it up. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's in there. It's in the Bible. I'm hoping and praying that the melody will come back to many of our Christian songs. I'm a harmony singer. I love to sing harmony more than just about anything, and Barbie is the same way. But you can't have a harmony without a melody. You got to have melody. And beautiful melodies, I think, please the Lord. I'd like to see more of them. I really would.
So is your focus right now, at this point in your life, is it mainly songwriting, or is it mainly trying to stir the passion the people of God to worship? What do you feel like is your focus right now?
It is a combination of things, but that latter one, the pushing people to passion for the Lord and praying for revival. That's our thing in the country, starting with personal revival, that the Lord would revive our hearts as His people, and that we would see beyond that great awakening in the whole country. In my opinion, that's the only thing that's going to really change this country. The political structures, we do need to be involved as believers in that world, in the political. But the change, I don't believe, will come ultimately through politics. It's going to come through a change of the heart that only happens by honoring Jesus Christ as Lord.
The judgment begins in the house of the Lord.
It does.
Revival
it does.
Begins in the hearts of individual men and women and children.
Yeah. Yeah,
it doesn't always begin as this big corporate. It begins individually.
Right, right.
That's all we have time for today. I want to thank Terry Franklin for the time he spent with us. You can find both Terry and Barbie on lovesings.com and at Worship City USA. Join us again next week when we get to hear from Terry's better half, Barbie. And if you're up early on this radio station from 7 to 8 a.m. is an hour of worship, teaching and preaching from a local network of churches networking together for the sake of the gospel. It's called Awaken Me, fanning the flames of prayer and fasting and evangelism for the welfare of our city. And until next time, always remember, there's always hope. Because Jesus lives and loves you.
Because Jesus lives, there is hope.
This is a Valley of the Well production.